Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to what I think is episode 121. I'm not positive, but I think it is. It is Friday, June 7th. Again, not positive about that. Fairly positive that it's Friday, but is it June 7th? I think so. I think it is. I'm sitting on my porch. It's a little bit after 10 in the morning. Travis is here. It's raining. I don't know if you can hear the rain or not. There's some birds around. We have a nest behind our basketball hoop. We do every year. It's very nice. I'm looking over the garden. Our tomato plants, which the man started inside, are already producing tomatoes. Whether or not they will be big and ripe by the time we leave for the beach, which we're doing in a couple weeks, I don't know. But we actually even had, we always grow the sun-kissed gold. Is that what they're called? You know, the golden cherry tomatoes. And, oh man, they're so good. And we actually had a couple of them. What was funny is that, so there were a couple that were ripe, and I picked them and washed them and took one in, gave it to the man, and we both ate them. But we had both just brushed our teeth, so we couldn't tell. They tasted funny because they weren't actually quite ripe enough, or else because we had just brushed our teeth. I don't know. The good news is school is over. It's all done. Not just the last day of class, which was Tuesday, but then the graduations. Will's was Wednesday. It was very moving. We have such, you know, I made the green and white quilt for our lower school director, and she's such a good director, and she's a really good public speaker. I've heard this woman give talks and speeches on many occasions over the last 9 years, and she's very funny. She's a very natural speaker, so it just really feels like she's talking to you. And she did a great job. And you talk to these fourth grade kids about getting out of their comfort zones and doing stuff that maybe made them nervous or a little bit scared or uncomfortable. But she said that's where all the interesting stuff takes place. And it was neat. So Will was a flag bearer, and this was a big honor because there were 12 fourth graders who were picked for various jobs in the ceremony. There were several speakers. Like, there was a kid who introduced the lower school director and a kid who introduced the board member who gave out the certificates of graduation. And Will was a flag bearer. And this was an honor that all the teachers, all the faculty, except the fourth grade teachers, voted for the kids who should participate in this way. And Will was one of the kids that got voted in. So that's pretty cool. That's nice. He's very well liked in this little community because he's a nice kid. It's so funny. I always have to stop myself though, because people will take me aside, teachers and one of Will's baseball coaches the other day, and talk about what a great kid Will is. He's just a really, I think, nice presence in the classroom. He's funny and he listens and he does what he's told and he's nice to other kids, etc. And so I have to restrain myself from saying, wow, you should see him at home. I mean, he's pretty good at home. He's just, you know, he's a complex person, and as we all are. So anyway, I'm like, he's great, but I wish he'd eat something other than macaroni and cheese. I kind of have to learn to take compliments on behalf of my children a little better. I don't want to seem braggy. He's great. But he is a pretty nice kid. And his baseball team is doing well. They're playing. They're supposed to be playing in the championship game tomorrow, but we're on our second day of pouring rain. If you're on the East Coast, you probably are living with a lot of pouring rain yourself from this tropical storm that's headed up the coast. And that means that I don't think we're going to be playing this game till Monday or Tuesday, which I'm actually quite happy about, because today was like yesterday we had Jack's graduation, which was not as cool as Will's, and not because it was Jack's. Jack was perfectly cool. He graduated. We were very excited, but for some, you just get this point where you get burnt out on these graduations. I think it's ridiculous. Especially when you have the preschool, and then, Will graduate. He went to a preschool that was not part of Durham Academy, so he had that graduation, and then at Durham Academy, kindergarten is part of the preschool, so he actually had two preschool graduations, and now fourth grade. And same for Jack. So this is, we're on his fourth graduation. And, eighth grade graduation in some ways makes sense. I think traditionally, because I think there was a time when a lot of people stopped their formal schooling in eighth grade. But at this point, most people go on. You know, everybody goes on. I think it's the law. You have to go till you're 16. So, you know, and so it just kind of feels like a bit much. And I feel like these children are really praised a lot. And, you know, I don't know. But it was fun. I think by yesterday morning, also the graduation was at 8:30. I'm like, these are middle schoolers. These are 14-year-old kids. Let them sleep in. Let's just do this at 1. I'm sure it was that early for the parents' sake, because by the time you get into the middle school, a lot of the moms who are not working during the elementary school years or lower school years, they're back at work. So I'm sure that's what it was for. But part of me is just like, man. So anyway, by the time Jack's graduation came around, I was pretty dang cranky. Anyway, so Ben, I was like, well, I can sleep in Friday, and Friday will be really nice. And then Saturday, I was going to have to get up for this 9:30 game. I mean, I get up at 7 anyway, but it's just different getting up and not having anything in front of you as opposed to getting up and making sure, you know, getting Will up and making sure he's got all his equipment. And blah, blah, blah. But now I don't think we'll have this game till Tuesday night. So I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy for summer to start. I am working on my big decluttering project. I just did one quilt diary, maybe two. Maybe I've got two quilt diaries. I think two. Anyway, but I tell you, I finished my quilts, gave them. That's what I probably had not talked about in the second quilt diary, is that I did present the quilts. Well, it was funny. So I took the first one, the green and white, to Carolyn, the lower school director, and I did it on Tuesday. Now I can't remember when I recorded the last quilt diary and if I told you about this. Well, you're going to hear it twice. Yes, I know. People are now, this has become a drinking game, I hear, when I'm in the Twitter sphere. It's like, here's a drinking game. Every time Francis says, have I told you this already? You have to drink. Man, you have some people rolling on the floor if you're playing that game. But anyway, so I took it to Carolyn. I went on Tuesday. That was the last day of school, and I went just a few minutes early. And we both got very weepy. I mean, I was actually surprised that I was feeling a little bit emotional, but I was really surprised when she opened. She's like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. And she really did. She started crying just a little bit. Wasn't sobbing, but she really did. And that, of course, made me get weepy. And we hugged. And it was very nice. And then the funny experience was with giving the second quilt, the white and green quilt, to Beth, the administrative assistant, who, as I've discussed, I don't actually know that well. I'm very fond of her. She's just such a lovely person, and she has been part of Will's school family, which I've talked about. They have, from the time they're from first grade to fourth grade, they're put in a group with other kids from different grades, and then and faculty and staff. And Beth has been in Will's school family since first grade, and she's a big sports fan, as is Will. So they really, and she's, whenever I see her, she's like, oh, I love Will. Will is great, da da da. So anyway, but still, I haven't spent a ton of time with her. And when I saw her, so I was going to leave at her desk, and Carolyn's, oh, she's upstairs at the library. They were getting ready for the faculty, staff and faculty end of school lunch. So you just take it up there. So I did, and I handed it to her, and she said, oh, thank you, but she didn't open it. Which is probably just as well. But at the same, it was weird because I felt so, you know, and we chatted and whatever. And she was like, but she had no idea what it was. And I don't think she was expecting a quilt. But so, and then I said goodbye, but it felt very unresolved, you know, because again, I don't know, just so. But I did, and I kind of felt kind of edgy about it. I was like, is she going to think it's too much? Is she, you know, is she not going to? What if she doesn't, you know, what if she's bewildered by it or whatever? So, but I just had to let that go. But then at graduation, there was a reception afterwards out on the one of the play areas. And I saw her, and she came up to me, and she was like, hands over her heart, and gave me a huge hug. And she's like, oh, it's so beautiful. I can't believe how beautiful. And that was so it was then everything was resolved and felt good. There was closure to the whole experience, but she was very moved by it, and so that was nice. I will post pictures, by the way, of both finished quilts with, you know, I'm mad because I didn't get an up-close picture of the quilting on the white and green quilt. It's not exceptional quilting, so it's not a huge loss. The man took some pictures too, more sort of documentary quality. I got a nice picture of the green and white quilt out on the clothesline, but because of the dimensions of the white and green quilt, I couldn't hang it without it going all the way to the ground. So I just took it upstairs and took a picture on the bed. But I'm hoping maybe the man's photographs of the green and white and green quilt actually get the quilt team. Again, not exceptional quilting. I just like for y'all to see it. So that is all well and good. And done. So yes, got that all finished up. And now it's funny. One of the things I'm going to do today is go and do a really good cleanup of my sewing space and get my mosaic quilt blocks up on the design wall, in part because the design wall is just sitting there naked. It doesn't look good at all. But I'm waiting. Will had a sleepover at a friend's house last night. Can you hear this rain? I bet you can. And so I'm waiting for the mom to drop him off. It's one of these friends. He keeps making these friends that live 30 miles away, and this is one of them. Nice family. Glad he's friends with the kid. This kid, his friend, is like, he's 10, like Will. He's like top-ranked golfer in his age, not just in this country, but like in the world. So he's golf-obsessed. And I was talking with his mom about it yesterday. I said, it's his thing completely, because we're like, we don't want to push him. People kind of look at us sometimes like, are you making him do this? But it's like, no, he just wants to do it, and he's really good. Anyway, waiting for them to come home. All right. I don't know where I was now. Oh, sewing room. Yes, and the design wall looks naked, so I want to get those blocks up, but I also want to get inspired to really make some progress. I think I'm up to like 27 blocks, and I need 100. So that will be one big summer project. And then need to finish quilting the red and white, my Irish chain quilt. And I don't know the other thing I have to keep in mind is that I need to take my machine in to be serviced, which I'm going to do before we go to Ocracoke at the end of the month. That's going to be when I do that. So I don't want to get too like excited about starting new projects. But I do want to do a baby quilt for my friend Catherine's newish baby, Oliver. So that is on my list too. I have plenty of projects ahead of me, awaiting me. But right now I think it would be good just to chill, clean stuff up, organize the scraps, put some blocks on the wall, and just feel organized. I'm in a very big decluttering mode, and have made some progress. I've got a list of stuff I'm going to take to the Durham Rescue Mission tomorrow, and I think I've talked about Free Cycle before, and I've got a bunch of stuff on a Free Cycle. I know I talk about this, and I talk about the attic, and the attic is a big project, but I think just, a little bit at a time, right? One day at a time, one little project at a time. So that's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm going to focus on this weekend. I also want to go to some of the, used furniture, consignment shops and whatever. I really want a vintage lamp for my porch. I need some good porch lighting. We have overhead lighting, but I hate overhead lighting. So I want a good lamp so I can sit out here and read. I did that yesterday afternoon. So I took Will over to Jackson's house and then picked up some lunch for everybody on the way home. And then, so had lunch. And then I just came out and sat out on the porch. It was rainy and cool. And Travis and I sat on my couch and we read. And then I fell asleep, which is really nice. I don't, just like for 20 minutes, but it was a good, real nap. I am reading, reading so many different things. I finally finished the Andre Agassi memoir, Open. Really good. If you're all interested in sports stuff, I would recommend it. I just got Mary Pfeiffer's new book. It's called The Green Boat. It is about climate change, kind of dealing with the emotions. I've just started. I love her. Did you read Reviving Ophelia? That was really good. And then she's got like the, what's it called? The Shelter of Each Other, about families. And she's got a really good book about the elderly. She's got a really good book about refugee families coming into the States. I'm sorry, now I don't have the list of her books in front of me. But anyway, she's a wonderful writer. And, she's a therapist. And I always loved, even when I was a kid, like I would read my mom's like Ladies Home Journal magazines and Good Housekeeping and the advice columns. And Ladies Home Journal was, can this marriage be saved? And I always loved that, kind of like, well, here's a problem that people are having and here's some ways of solving it. And Mary Pfeiffer does that in her books quite a bit, and she'll talk about her clients and here's the problem and here's the things that she suggested and here's what happened. So this book is about climate change and one kind of taking a look at how we're responding to it emotionally. And
And I've just started, but she's writing about denial, and I'm really good with denial. Denial is one of my crutches. Because sometimes you just need to be in denial to get through the day. But she really feels that human beings are in denial about what's going on, which I agree, and sometimes I am too, because sometimes you have to shut it off. But one of her things is, all right, you know, what happens is that you watch the documentary, you know, you go and hear the talk about climate change, and it's so much gloom and doom, and so often the information is presented without any, like, here's what you can do other than recycle, you know. And I recycle, and I try to hang my laundry out in the line when the weather's good. I'm not as good, you know, and I use cloth bags and blah, blah, blah. You do all that stuff, but still, it's not enough. I think we have to do some more wide-scale political action. But so that's what she was. So again, I've just started. Right now, we're in denial here, and grief, you know, and I think she's kind of like, we're in the five stages of grief, because the stuff is really happening, and I know people deny it, but I think more and more, just as we watch what's going on around us, it's really kind of, it's harder to ignore it or to deny that the climate is changing, and we really, you know, and now the carbon parts per whatever, carbon, that we've reached the 400 mark, 400 parts of carbon per whatever cubic whatevers of air. Aren't I scientific? But it's not good, right? Because we're not sustainable above 350. So, I'm excited about this book because she is a therapist, and she's going to take us through this, walk us through our feelings and our denial and our grief, and then promises too some hope and some things. So I'm looking forward to that, because I just feel like, you know, that there are times where I want to be more politically active, but I think you've got to focus. There's so much going on, and this is the thing that for my children and for my children's children, I think I need to get more active about, and more not just individual stuff, which I do, but really on a larger scale. So I'm excited about reading this book. I am reading Sarah Dessen's new novel, which is called The Moon and More. Sarah Dessen is a wonderful young adult author. I think one of the best young adult authors out there, and it's good. She's always really good. And I picked up, I really have too much. I think I'm going to be going to the beach this year with, you know, 20 half-read books that I'm going to finish. But I did pick up a novel called Seating Arrangements by Maggie Shipstead, and it's about a wedding that's taking place out on Cape Cod. And Maggie Shipstead's Seating Arrangements is a stunning debut, an irresistible social satire that is also blah, 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 blah. Basically, it takes place over 3 days, a wedding. I think it goes different points of view of the different people involved. I'm not going to read you the jacket copy. But anyway, and I've started it. And this woman can write. I don't know how the story is going to work out. But the writing is so good. It's just, she just nails these descriptions of things in these really delightful ways. So, I've got that. Got Mary Pfeiffer's book. I just got a copy of my friend Amy Hoffman's new book. It's a memoir called Lies About My Family. And I've started that, and it's wonderful. I've heard her read from it. She's a friend of mine from grad school. I may have talked about her just because I see her every few years. We both sit on this panel at Vanderbilt University talking to MFA students about making careers outside of the university. And when we were in grad school together, we weren't really friends. We were friendly. She was very good friends with my best friend, but she was older than I am. She's 60, and I just turned 49. Yay! She's very political. She's a lesbian, a radical feminist, and so I was, you know, so it was, again, we were friendly, but we ran in slightly different circles. And so the first time we were together on one of these panels, here I was, you know, suburban housewife driving a minivan kind of person. And I really thought, oh, she's going to hate me. She lives in Boston. She's married to her partner. She's just going to think I'm so bourgeois and whatever. And we just like hit it off like a house on fire. I just, you know, we just one of those people I could talk to forever, ever. And I just adore her. And I think she adores me. We just have a great time. That's like my favorite reason for going to sit on this panel is because I get to hang out with Amy. Anyway, so this is about her family, both growing up and her ancestors. Well, she's also Jewish, although she's not. I think several of my Jewish friends, I don't think she's particularly a believer, but she does, you know, she does like the holidays. I mean, she observes. She's observant in this sort of agnostic kind of way that I find fascinating. And the way that, I mean, a lot of Christians who aren't really Christian, but, you know, who do Easter and Christmas, I guess maybe it's a similar kind of thing. Anyway, her book is out. It's called Lies About My Family, and I've read about 20 pages, and it's wonderful. So if you're looking for a good family memoir that's funny and touching and wonderful, get that. Amy Hoffman, that is the author and my friend. So that's what I'm reading. And now I guess I'm going to go work on my sewing area and get that cleaned up. And look forward to talking to you soon. I will try to be back next Thursday. I'm going to try to get back weekly. Of course, it's not Thursday now, but, you know, I'm going to still try to check in with you weekly. Thank you, everyone. I've heard from tons of people. I'm sorry that you can't post pictures to my comment section. I didn't really think about that when I said, oh, post pictures. And a lot of people said, well, I couldn't figure out how to do it. I don't know how to do it. So that's too bad, because I would love to see what you're working on. You can always email me and post pictures as attachments. My email is fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. There's still a week left for the giveaway for my third podcast anniversary. Come over to my site. You can post a comment on this episode or last week's episode. It doesn't matter. The deadline is next Thursday, the 13th. And the winner will get a $25 gift certificate to Fat Quarter Shop. So leave a comment. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you are listening from, what kind of work you do, quilty-wise, just whatever you want me to know. I would love to hear. It's neat. It's been really neat to just know where people are where people are and what they're up to. So anyway, I hope you have a great week, and we will get on with Quilt Diaries.
Quilt Diary, Day 1, Saturday, May 25th. All right, this is irritating. This is the third time I'm doing this. First time, I forgot to hit the record button. Well, I did hit the record button, but on my handheld device, you hit the record button, and then the pause button kind of lights up off and on, and you have to hit that, and then you actually start recording. Forgot to hit the pause button, and so I spoke for about 5 minutes without recording any of it. And then I started recording. I'm like, all right, just re-record. That's fine. And I started doing that. I'm like, I can't remember if I just said this 2 seconds ago or if I said it in the first non-recording. So we're starting over. I haven't told you anything. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I need to tell you. I finished the white and green quilt top, which I didn't think I was going to have done till tomorrow, but I just went to town yesterday and I got her done. And this morning I went to Thimble Pleasures and went up to the ladies at the counter and said, I need help. I need 2 borders. I need a binding and a backing. And we went to town and we got everything and it all looks good. I know one thing I wanted to tell you is share with you a tip I very well may have shared earlier in my quilting career, but just bears repeating. So here we have this quilt with all these different blocks that need to be assembled. And there are six columns. Yeah, 6x6. It's a square. And by the way, this is very cool. This quilt, when I sat down to measure it, once I got the quilt top quilt piece together, it is square. It is 45 by 45 inches. I got the 49 after I started adding on borders. It was exactly square. I've never done that before in my life. Thank you very much. I am taking a bow. I made a square quilt that was supposed to be a square quilt. Crazy. Now I'm going to have to start calling this podcast the Kilter Quilt. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That was really cool. But anyway, so 6 and 6. And, you know, I got all the pieces, all the blocks up on my board ready to be assembled.
And I took a picture. I brought the picture up on my computer. But, you know, this is, it was hard to tell. I couldn't always distinguish each one block from another. And what happens is you think you're going to keep them all in order and you're going to do it in such a way that you're going to, you know, piece something together, iron it, and put it back up, and it's all going to make sense to you. You're not going to lose track of what goes where, but I know from previous experience you do. And that's one reason you have a picture, right? So you have it in front of your face, except this one, because they're all greens, it just made it harder, especially because some of the greens are similar values, and so it's a little hard to tell, to distinguish one piece from another, one block from another. So I got out my painter's tape. I've done this before, and this is, I think, much easier even than referring to a picture. I just ripped off pieces of tape, put R1, C1, row 1, column 1, starting going left to right, from top to bottom, and just each piece got its piece of tape. The tape stays on, but it does not leave any residue when you take it off. And I pretty, you know, it wasn't until I got the bottom row. I made one mistake. I got something flipped at some point and had to go. And of course, it was like at 11:30 last night, so I didn't try to fix it. You know, I took the piece out and just had everything ready at my sewing machine this morning and fixed it then. But that was just a really easy, and you say, oh, but you've got to write out, you know, so we're talking, what, 36 blocks plus the sashing pieces. You think, well, that'll take a long time, but man, once it's done, everything, it just went really fast. I think that just made it go so much faster, just so much easier to not be standing there staring at my computer going, is this one that one, or is this one, no, just, yeah, took out all the guesswork. I will be doing this from now on. So I want to share that with you. And it looks very nice. It is so desperately in need of borders, though. I think that's going to really make the quilt. Because, you know, it's just green and white. Different greens. It's white and green. White and green. That's right. This is not the green and white quilt. It is the white and green quilt. And, you know, I feel kind of... I'm like... I like it. It's a very cool pattern. If you've seen it, I'll post a picture with this episode, because by the time this episode is posted, it will be done, the quilt, the white and green quilt. It is, I hate to say this, it is a very cute quilt. It's a very neat pattern. I think with borders, borders will improve it greatly. Not that it is an unimproved, disimproved quilt, but it's not quite as fabulous as the green and white. I think the green and white pattern is just amazing, and this is a white and green quilt. So this is right now, it's a little paler in its effect. But again, fingers crossed, borders will take care of that to some extent. I mean, let's face it, Beth, who I'm making this for, the administrative assistant, she's going to like the quilt. All right. No one gets a quilt and goes, disappointing. I mean, maybe you or I might get, no one gives us quilts. We're the quilt makers, all right? You know, it's like when I started making quilts, my mom was like, well, now I can't make quilts for you anymore. I'm like, yes, you can. But she got so many other people to make quilts for. But so we don't give, quilt makers don't give each other quilts. Oh, maybe you do. My mom and I don't. So we would be the only ones. Any muggle who gets the quilt, obviously, again, we know, don't have to worry. They're not going to notice our imprecision. They're not going to notice anything. They're just going to be so happy someone made them a quilt. So I don't think Beth's going to be sneaking over, looking at Carolyn's going, man, that sucks that she got that. Well, maybe she will. Oh, she's so lovely, though. She won't. She'll be happy she got a quilt. It's thought that counts, right? Okay, yes. So, my perfectly square quilt. So that's what I'm going to do today. I don't know. I could be quilting on this quilt by tomorrow, which would be neat. It would be neat. All right, I think I'm starting to repeat myself. Is there anything else I need to tell you? No, because you know what? I have reached the point again. I can't remember what I've said. I can't remember if I told you I'm watching Ken Burns' baseball documentary, but I am, and it's good, but I might have told you that already. So we just have to quit. I can't. Now it's all just going to be me second guessing myself. And you know what? You don't need that. You have a life to live, as do I. So I'm going to get back on the job
And I'll be back maybe today. It might be next week. I don't know. I'm going to try to have, it's possible if I talk enough, not today, but whenever I come back, that I'll post another episode. You know, like I'll do it this Thursday and get back to being a weekly Thursday girl. I doubt it though. I'm feeling, it's like I've got a long weekend. I feel like I'm made of nothing but time. But that feeling will quickly dissipate next week when school gets going again. But we don't have very much. We've got next week and then we've got Monday and Tuesday, let's call them June 3rd and 4th. And I'm pretty sure we're done, but for 8th grade graduation. Man. Yeah, we're not going to complain anymore about all the graduations that are silly. They're probably not silly to the children, so it's all for the children. All right, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Monday, June 3rd, 2013. I have been, like, no one has talked to me for perhaps hours, maybe years. As soon as I hit the record button, it's like they stream in. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. It's like when you have little kids and you're talking on the phone, and that's when they need you. Enough said. Anyway, I am reporting to tell you I have finished the quilts. I have finished the green and white quilt. I have finished the white and green quilt. They are bound. They are labeled. They are just waiting to be documented by the man. And then they're ready to go. Tomorrow is the last day of school, although that does not mean we're done with school because, of course, on Wednesday we have fourth grade graduation and fourth grade pool party, although thank goodness my dear friend Sarah is going to take Will and her son Gavin, who I've mentioned before many times. She's going to take him to the pool party. She has a babysitter for her younger children. Thank you, Sarah, for saving my life yet again. And then Thursday we have eighth grade graduation. That is at 8:30 a.m. Takes an hour. Jack says he doesn't really want to stay for the little reception afterwards, and I say, bless you, my child. Anyway, so no, we're not done because we have to graduate. I let myself have that thought earlier today. It's like, wow, if we didn't have to graduate our children in these sort of meaningless graduations, we would be done completely tomorrow and could just be done with school. But no, we've got to stretch it out. On Saturday, the man took Jack to his best friend Kristoff's graduation party. Kristoff goes to another school. He goes to Cary Academy, and his parents threw him an eighth grade graduation party. Because you know why? Because he's an only child. And you may have only children yourselves, and you may not do this, but some parents of only children, every milestone we must commemorate in a big, huge way. And so anyway, it was, I think, a bit over the top. And bless their hearts, the man said that Kristoff's parents, I think, realized, because it was like at this country club, not a real highfalutin country club, but a country club, and it was from 12 to 4. You know, I can go for weeks without a drink. I can. In fact, I've gone for weeks without a drink recently because I'm trying to take off a little weight. I can do that. But if you're going to send me to a country club for an eighth grade graduation party, I'm going to need to drink. And you're not. But I don't drink between 12 and 4 in the afternoon. I just don't. I haven't since college when you would go to football games and drink. So anyway, but the man did that because I was doing an author thing over at the Hillsborough Library, an author panel with several other children's book authors from the community put on by this lovely man. His name is John Bemis. He writes middle grade fiction. His book, The 8-Pound Hammer, was on the Battle of the Books list this year, and it was a big favorite. So if you have middle school kids, I haven't read it yet. I need to read it because he's so lovely. He's young. He was a teacher and became a writer, and I think has had a fair amount of success and just could not be a nicer guy. He's somewhere in maybe his early 30s would be my guess. He could be older and just look younger, but he looks pretty young to me. Just a lovely guy. And he is the Piedmont Laureate
I don't know if it's not the poet laureate, but the sort of literary laureate. They do this for, I think it's Wake, Orange, and one other county. I can't remember which one. And every year it's like a children's book author, and then one year it's a poet, and one year it's a nonfiction. And I have never applied for it because I don't want the job. The stipend's not, it's a nice stipend, but I'm too much of an introvert. I got too much on my plate. Anyway, that's what I was doing, which I was so happy about because it saved me from the eighth grade graduation party. Like, what are they going to do when he graduates from high school? Also, it's like Jack got Kristoff a very nice present. And first the man was like, well, should we give him something? And we're like, what? Because he finished eighth grade? You want us to go, you know, Jack, we paid for Jack's present and it was a very nice present and we paid a lot for it. And it's like, no, we'll wait. We'll wait to give him the pen and pencil set for when he graduates. These are nice people, so I shouldn't mock them. But I'm just like, come on, let's just get to summer. Yeah, so anyway, so I finished these quilts and then immediately started panicking. So the quilt, the green and white, is for Carolyn, who is the director of the lower school. She does a tremendous job. It's a really good school, and she's a really good director. She's really good at what she does. And then the other one, the white and green quilt, is for Beth, the administrative assistant, who's also been in Will's family. They put all the kids in families from when they start in first grade, I guess, and they stay in that family for 4 years. And she's really lovely, and so made one for her. But, you know, I realized when I was done, I was like, oh, man, Beth's quilt is bigger than Carolyn's. And Carolyn is, well, you know, higher up on the chain of command than Beth. And I shouldn't buy. And, you know, and the thing about Carolyn's quilt is I actually made it smaller. I didn't want to make a huge quilt. You know, although, okay, here's the other thing. I'm looking at it. It's a very pretty quilt. You may have seen it. I posted a picture of it, you know, whenever, a month ago. It's wonderful. I'm not saying it's the most perfectly executed quilt, but it's a great pattern. But then I was like, wow, you know, the pattern itself did not call for a border, but also the pattern was, I think I cut one row horizontal, one vertical row, just because I just felt like it was going to be too big. And now I'm like, wow, I shouldn't have done that. And also, or like, oh, I wish I'd thought to put a border. I think it could have used a border, and I didn't do a, you know, the pattern didn't call for one, but looking at it, I'm like, oh, wow, a border. And I'm just like, stop. Do you think that people are going to be piling homemade quilts on them tomorrow? Like here, they're just going to have bags of quilts that people have made them? For all I know, no one's ever made them a quilt before, ever. And here I'm going, it's not big enough. It needs a border. It's like, A, they're lovely people who will appreciate lovely quilts, and both quilts are lovely. B, they're muggles. They won't, all they're going to go is like, quilt, you know, the way the muggles do. You know, they will be really pleased. How could they not be pleased? Can you imagine? I mean, because these are nicely constructed, nicely patterned quilts. I would be happy with a poorly constructed, lousy patterned quilt. You know, I mean, quilts are really cool. So anyway, I'm just, you know, I think I may be tired. And I worked on Beth's all day, the white and green all day, because I started sewing on the binding last night, doing the machine part of the sewing, and, you know, I just kept messing up. I'm like, just stop. So I did that, and then I finished it up this morning and then did the hand quilting. Oh, we have to talk about labels because I wasn't sure what to do. So my mom made these beautiful machine embroidered labels. Did the embroidery on a square of muslin. And, you know, and I emailed her and said, you know, should I put the labels on first before I wash the quilt or after? And my mom was really helpful. She said, I have no idea. It's like, okay, so I emailed Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, and Jay, Art Quilt Maker, and then Noni, Noni's Quilting Dreams. I want to say, is that right, Noni? It's been a little while. It was Noni's birthday yesterday, by the way. Yay, Noni. It's been a little while since Noni has posted. She's very busy. She's working. She's a working girl. But let's see. Yes, Noni's quilting dreams. I think when Kate was still podcasting, she may have been a dreamer too. Anyway, emailed these three lovely ladies because they're very knowledgeable. It's like, what should I do? What should I do? And Jay was very adamant, not just attach the, she's like, you know, quilt the label into the quilt. And apparently a lot of people do that. And Jay felt, in part sort of a security thing. So knowing if someone's going to steal your quilt, and she had a quilt stolen, you know, if your label is sewed in there, or quilted in there, you know, it makes it a little harder to get away with any kind of theft. I'm looking at my email. I think Sandy was kind of leaning this way and that way on it. Let's see. Noni said that she sometimes attaches her label before she quilts it, and then she quilts through the label. And it's very wisely says, of course, each project is approached independently. Good point by Sandy. Make sure your thread, if you've got, say, an embroidered label, is color fast, because it's not always. And I did that. I did a test, and it was, but that was a really good point. Noni says that she frequently washes her labels before she sewed them. She doesn't want a wrinkly label. Sandy was saying that she likes to actually sew, you know, put the one thing she does, I can't remember that. I'm just going blah, 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 because I'm tired. I should just be quiet, but I'm not. Here we go. She said, if I'm willing to take chances with my thread, she would sew the labels into the bindings pre-washing. That way they'll wrinkle up the same as the quilt and look more integral to it. So that was the feedback I got from the lovely ladies. Well, I'd already actually had the binding on Carolyn's quilt, on the green and white. I was pretty far gone. It was too late to, yeah, it must have been that. It was too late. I'd already quilted it, so I couldn't quilt that label. So anyway, I decided to experiment, and I also went online and looked, and there were differing opinions. And so with the green and white quilt, I sewed the label on after I washed the quilt. And then with the white and green quilt, I sewed the label into the binding. Now, neither of them did I actually quilt the label, but you know what? That wouldn't have worked. There was a lot of writing. I had, like, you know, these weren't simple labels. There was a lot of information. So I will have to say, I think both look fine. I think that the label that I sewed into the binding, the one on the white and green quilt, looks a little more integrated into the quilt. I don't mind how the other one looks. It's not detracting from the look of the quilt at all. But I think I do like the second one better, the one that I sewed into the binding. So there you have. That was a thing. So I want to report on that. I need to clean up my area, my sewing area. It is a mess. So I'm sort of trying to think ahead right now. What happens next? What comes next? Cleaning up. Maybe just doing a little bit of mosaic work. I also, obviously, I need to finish quilting my red and white quilt. And to that end, actually not really to that end, but I did buy a class. They had a special. Enroll in your next class for $19.99, and there is a quilting with templates class. The ones that I really looked at, there's an Angela Walters one, and that was quilting negative space. And I've been looking at that for a while, but I've gone back and forth on it, and I don't know. I just decided that I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm sort of looking at the Crafty site because I want to tell you exactly. Okay, it's machine quilting with templates. I'm seeing a picture of the teacher. Oh, the teacher is Kimmy Brunner, or Bruner. And she's from Minnesota. I feel like I've seen her elsewhere. But yes, anyway, I want to learn how to use templates. So, by the way, I didn't tell you, with the white and green quilt, I ended up doing my old standby, the spiral. Looks nice, but I did on the, you know, I quilted the borders. It's a very wide 6-inch border, 5.5 after you sew it. And I did a very simple quilting on that. And just imagine sort of short fat, but not short, but L's, like looping L's, just going down. So it's really, really simple. I'm going to walk, it's right over here. In fact, I hadn't really looked at it. So they're imperfect L's, but of course, I'm looking at the back, and which they're, you can see them more on the back. And I really like how it looks, actually. On other quilts where I have done the spiral quilting, I have, and then spiraled on the borders, I've not liked it on the borders as much. It's been a little bit out of control. So this, I drew lines. And put painter's tape and marked a grid to do it. So it's very simple, but it's neat. And I don't know if I'll be able to get a good picture of the back so you can see the quilting. The spirals look really neat and really work nicely with the fabric. But I also, I stitched in the ditch around the inner border, which strikes me is an inch, I think. And so I stitched in the ditch around that. And that looks really neat on the back too. So I'm overall pleased with the quilting job. And so I feel like I tried something a little bit different. But I'm ready to kind of continue with the machine quilting and getting better. This class, I think, maybe you learn to make templates. I'm not entirely sure. But I want to learn more about using templates and about how to think about quilting a quilt, how to come up with quilting designs. So I'm hoping this class will help me with that. So I'm excited. So yeah, sort of looking forward because the summer looms ahead once we get through all these unnecessary graduations. I just want to get to Friday. Actually, I just want to get to Thursday. The last thing on Thursday is taking Will out to a governor's club. He has a friend who's invited him for a sleepover on Thursday night. And they live in governor's club, which is a long way away from here. But and the mom very nicely offered to come pick him up. I'm just like, you know, I can't do that. You know, she's a really nice mom. I like her, but she's one of these moms that's what she really is, a chauffeur. That's what she does. She has this one kid, and she drives him. They live 30 minutes away from school, and that's what she's doing. She's driving him. He is a golfer, a very serious amateur golfer. He's 10, of course. He's amateur, I guess. I don't think they start paying him that young, but is very serious. I mean, and travels around the country to golf tournaments, and is apparently quite good. That's her life, is this kid, and which is lovely, I suppose, in its way. But yeah, just different choices. We all make different choices. Anyway, so I got to get Will out there, and then I'm going to come home, and then who knows what I'm going to do, but it's not going to have anything to do with school, because school will be over. Yes. Anyway, but I'm excited about this. I still have to finish my other machine quilting class. But, I think that's sort of, you know, the summer, I really want to finish the mosaic quilt and then think about quilting that. And I really want to go on vacation. You know, that's what I wanted this summer, is really go on vacation. It's just Monday, so I very well may have another quilt diary by Thursday, but I might not. I don't know. I'll see if I think of other things to talk about. But if so, I could be ending this now. I don't know. If after I stop talking here in a few seconds, suddenly it's just silence, That means that I've finished. I've said all I can say for this episode. Can you just hear me? Don't you feel sorry for me? I'm just like realizing, man, I think I need to go to bed now. But I did want to share that I finished these quilts, and there should be pictures up on the blog. Like I said, the man's going to document them, and if it's nice outside tomorrow morning before I take them to school, I think I'm going to take them out to my clothesline and take pictures out there, because those always look pretty. All right, well, yeah, might be back, might not. If not, I might actually see you next week. I might get back to my weekly schedule. I like being on a weekly schedule, and we'll just have all kinds of things to talk about, so take care of yourselves. Bye.